is a lie. Because we can use, we can choose to use words to lift people up or bring them down. We can choose to use our actions to glorify God or to demonize people. We can choose to use our life to create a positive impact in our society, or we can choose to be a burden to society. That is the incredible power of choice that each one of us in this room have the opportunity to use. And in 1 month, we as the American people have the power to choose the next president of the United States for the next 4 years. If you're old enough to vote, right? But let me pose a question to you this morning. What if no candidate was chosen? What if it was split right down the middle, 50-50? Now, I'm sure that Spano and Hardy could tell me that, well, they have things put into place. If it's 50-50, okay, then it goes in a different kind of vote. But just saying, what if there was no leader elected? I've talked with people about this election, and some people are saying, I don't know who to choose for because I don't feel like either of them are fit for the office. Have you talked with people like that? Have you heard that? Right? But would America be aimless without a leader? Would we be as sheep without a shepherd? Would we be as a team without a coach, or soldiers without a captain? I would argue that we wouldn't necessarily be aimless, because humans have an ingrained, hardwired need to follow someone or something. Just think about it yourself. Who do you follow in popular culture even? Who do you follow? Do you follow different athletes? Steph Curry. Who follows Steph Curry? Come on. Okay. Who follows different celebrities or actors or actresses? Who follow different personalities? Maybe even politicians. Maybe you follow a politician. I don't know. Or do you follow your friends? Your friends have a great influence over what you do. Who's your leader? Who do you follow? And the thing is, if there is no leader, ultimately, we as humans are going to follow ourselves. It's what the Bible talks about in the times of the judges. I'll read it for you. Judges chapter 21, verse 25. In those days, Israel had no king. All the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. So you have no leader? In fact, you do. It is me, myself, and I. You use your own desires, your own passions, your own wants to lead you to where you think you should go, right? But if we wish to have order in our society, in civility, is that a word, Mr. Lacey? Civility? Is that one better? Okay. Civility. If you wish to have order and something someone to call the shots, you need to have a leader, someone to make the rules. You need to have the president, the commander-in-chief, the one who is going to put those laws into action. You're going to need to have someone who can create those instructions and can give us order. Someone who does have influence. And in speaking about the president, they have influence over billions of people, not only in just this country, but around the world. But it's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult when you see the candidate who wishes to be the leader of the free world boasting about their accomplishments, or trying to dig up dirt on their opposition, on their competition. We don't happen to see that servant leadership that would be nice to see in our leaders, a concern for the people which they're leading. it's hard to find that these years. It's hard for us to see the moral qualities in our political leaders. Well, they do things that we don't think is very moral. And so you can't choose very easily. And when that day comes in a month, on that ballot, who are you going to check? Are you going to check one of the two main candidates that media has been pushing towards us? Are you going to write somebody's name in? I think I know what I might do. John Spano, president. Or are you going to pick a third-party candidate? Maybe you're not old enough, so you don't have too much to care. Sorry, some of you guys out there, but you're seeing what's happening. So in 4 years later, maybe you will be old enough to decide. But who are you going to choose? I firmly believe that we have the opportunity to vote every day of our lives. We have the chance to choose, to elect who is the leader every day of our life. We can exercise that power of choice on who is going to be the leader. Now, I'm not talking about the President of the United States. I'm talking about the Commander-in-Chief of your own life. Who is your leader? I want you to do an in-class assignment right now. Get out a piece of paper and a pen if you have one. If you don't have one, close your eyes and visualize this. Okay, this is not homework, just a little exercise I'd like you to do. Okay, if you got a pen, parents, if you have a crayon, steal it from your kids. But get out something that you can visualize. Maybe just close your eyes and visualize. If you're a visual person, you might be able to do this. But on your paper, in your mind, write the word leader. L-E-A-D-E-R. Can you see it in your mind if you haven't written it? Leader. Now, the first person who can find something in that word gets the candy bar that I had this morning. Okay? The first person who can find the word me in leader gets my candy bar. What was that? There isn't a me. You can't do it yourself. There isn't a me in leader. Is there? There is no me in leader. But did you know what? There's four I's. Imagination. Initiative. Influence. And integrity. Four characteristics that make a good leader. There is no me, but there's four eyes. Imagination. The leader imagines a reality that has not yet occurred. They cast a vision, and they encourage people to join them on that vision. A good leader has imagination. Initiative, second eye. A good leader has that drive, that go get them-ness. Is that a word, Mr. Lacey? To make that imagined reality happen. Initiative. Putting the people in a place that may need to make that vision take place. Third eye. Influence. Everybody in this room has influence over a particular circle of friends, acquaintances, family members, workmates. A leader has influence over those people, and it's a circle of people that follow the leader and can carry out that vision that they have imagined. And the fourth eye of leadership is integrity. Integrity, that follow through, that responsibility, the morals. When you say something, you keep your word. Integrity. And the thing is, if a leader lacks integrity, all the rest of the eyes seem to crumble. Because we want our leaders to have integrity. And people feel like their power of choice has been violated when their elected leader does not have integrity. And this is why I think that the United States of America right now is in the throes of decision, because who are you going to choose? And there's a lot of people in America that feel like the two options that they've been given, they're going to be forced to choose between the lesser of two evils. And so you vote for somebody, and if they don't get into power, if they don't actually be elected, you say, well, at least I didn't vote for the person who was elected. Pretty much, right? And the problem, and the reason why a lot of Americans feel this way, I believe, is because we see a lot of the word me in the leader. They want to push their agenda, and it's all about me. And their campaigns, even their campaign slogans, is all about me. For Trump, he says, I can make America great again. And then for Hillary, it says, Hillary for America. There's a lot of me in there. The me. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about them specifically. And then you look at their lifestyles or their morals and the lies that have been said, the tax returns that are not being submitted, the lying about email servers where they degrade one another. And we can join in that whole cycle as well. But the problem that I see is that society calls this lack of leadership, this lack of integrity, normal. And that's unfortunate. Now, I want us to step back for a moment. Everything I've said about the presidential campaigns is not to endorse one or the other, okay? We have that power of choice to choose. But I want us to pull back a moment, and I want us to think about what this means about choosing human leaders. Because isn't this what we always will get when we choose a human to lead over us? This morning, after you woke up, crawled out of bed, wiped the sleep out of your eyes, turned on the bathroom light, and looked in the mirror, what did you see? A shock, I'm sure, right? But looking back at you in that mirror, you saw a human being. A faulty, not perfect human. And that's what all of our leaders are. Not perfect human beings. I shared recently that my father just got his PhD in leadership. He is now a doctor of philosophy. Took him 9 years to get there. He's read books on leadership, hundreds of books on leadership. He's written all the papers, wrote a dissertation about leadership, done all the classwork, written responses to the books that he's read, and he himself is a leader. He is a leader in church administration for our Seventh-day Adventist Church over on the East Coast. And he rubs shoulders with a lot of the top church administrators in our denomination. He works with them. He sits on committees with them. He helps influence policies and decisions. And you would think, and you would hope, that our top church administrators and our pastors, I mean, talking about myself as well, you would hope and wish that these church administrators have better integrity than the leaders of the world. Now, don't get me wrong, because I think that they do. But they're human, just like you and me as well. They're not perfect. They're also faulty. And my father, who has worked closely with them, has seen their humanity. And my father's not perfect either. He would readily admit and say that he's not perfect. I can tell you that from personal experience, growing up as a child in a church administrator's home. My children would say the same thing about growing up in a pastor's home. Their dad's not perfect. But we are all human, and we all have faults. And I don't share this to cause us to distrust our church leadership, our presidents, our politicians. I don't share this to cause us to minimize their role, but to recognize their humanity and to pray for their wisdom, that they can have the right course of action. Now, if you have been receiving newsletters from our conference, what you need to know and what's happening in the UCC and the conference, you've noticed that there is a request from the North Pacific Union. Don Friedman is the president now, North Pacific Union, and also our conference, Paul Hoover, has requested that church members take some time to pray and to fast next Tuesday about a decision that the world church leaders have gathered to discuss about. They're making difficult decisions about our church's future. It's a time called Annual Council in Silver Spring, Maryland, where the church headquarters are. And I would encourage each of us to spend some time on Tuesday praying, because some of the decisions that they have on the table could cause a lot of polarization with a lot of church members. And it's difficult for me to see these kinds of things happening, because I want to respect and support my church administration. But I'm concerned when I see a lot of the me in the leader. And I think that we do need to pray for them, that they don't push their own agendas, but that they listen to a collective body. That's how God works a lot. But that we pray that they take the right course of action that doesn't divide things but brings things together, and that can allow for some diversity within the unity. But when I see these things happening, I'm also reminded that they are just humans, just as I am. Because don't I do the same thing when I try to follow Jesus? Doesn't the me get in the way? I mean, we know who's the best leader to follow, right? We know that we should follow Jesus. We've been taught that as a child, if we've grown up in the church, or maybe as we've converted to the church, converted to Christianity, and we realize, I want to follow Jesus, and maybe that's why you're here today at church, because you want to follow Jesus. And we know that he's the best option, that there is no fault in Jesus. We've read the invitation in John chapter 1, where Jesus calls Andrew and Peter and Nathaniel and Philip. And when he gets to Philip, he says, follow me. And the disciples, they follow Jesus. And a few chapters later, we see how the disciples are mending their nets by the Sea of Galilee, by Lake Galilee. And Jesus comes to them and says, come on, guys, follow me. And they leave their nets behind and they follow Jesus, the leader. And maybe that's what you've done as well. You have left your nets behind. You have left a life where you've followed yourself so much that you've turned from that and you say, now I want to follow Jesus. And the reason why we want him to be our leader is because we recognize that there is no me in his leadership. He is the leader we want to follow. Our scripture reading from this morning, the beginning of worship, Philippians chapter 2. I'd like us to look at that together again. Philippians chapter 2, reminds us of the kind of leader that Jesus is and the kind of leader that we are to be in our own families, in our own friends groups, in our own societies, in our own organizations. Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul encourages us, he exhorts us, he says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Philippians 2, 5, verse 6 now. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. There's no me in there. It's full of humility. It's full of Jesus desiring to do God's plan, God's mission. And we read in John chapter 13 where Jesus takes the towel and he takes the basin and he wraps the towel around himself and he stoops down and he washes and scrubs the grime and the dirt off of his disciples' feet, practicing that servant leadership. That's the example that we want to follow. That's the example I want to follow. That's the example that we want our leaders to follow. Our politicians and government, we want them to follow the servant leadership of Jesus. Our pastors and our church administrators, we want them to follow the humility of Jesus. Our teachers and our academy staff, we want them to follow the example of Jesus. And our parents, our grandparents, our aunts and our uncles, our family members, that's the example that we want them to follow. Where there is no me in leadership. And we know that example. We've been taught that. We know it's the best way to go. But there's always those times when the me gets in the way. When human nature seems to take over and we just say, nope, I want to do it my way and I want to do it now and I want to do it like this. And at those times, it's when my desires to be my own leader butt heads with my decision to allow Christ to be leader. And it's those times when the Holy Spirit starts talking and says, maybe you should think about doing it this way. Or maybe remember what this verse says about that. And that's the time when your conscience starts saying a couple few things and you start listening to that still small voice. Do you know what I'm talking about? You understand that struggle of putting yourself in front of Jesus as the leader? And sometimes that battle can get fierce. Sometimes it's our will against God's will. And I want to give you some encouragement this morning. Remember I started and gave you a little sentence from Steps to Christ, page 47. It's a book that I love to read. It talks about the steps to get to know Jesus better. Steps to Christ, page 47. The power of choice God has given to men. It is theirs to exercise. That's the sentence I read earlier. Remember that? It's the power of choice that God has given to men, theirs to exercise. You cannot change your heart. You cannot of yourself give to God your heart's affections, but you can choose to serve him. You can give him your will. He will then work in you to will and to do according to his good pleasure. That, my friends, is the power of choice that we all have. The power to choose to follow Christ as our leader, to make him number one, to make him our commander in chief. And as we listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, Isaiah tells us that your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And the Holy Spirit will never lead us astray from what the Bible says. If you hear a voice saying, nah, you should go kill your brother. That's not the Holy Spirit talking. The Holy Spirit is going to have those fruits of his Spirit. Galatians, love, joy, peace, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all those things, right? He's going to never lead us astray, but sometimes it helps to ask a few questions when we're faced with a decision. Is it right? Is it moral? Is it biblical? How will it affect others? And the thing is, once we set our mind to make that choice, to follow through with it, God leads us, God directs us, and he guides us. And we can say all the way, my Savior leads me. I want to share a song with you guys this morning. I don't do this terribly often, do I? But it's a song that speaks very closely to making Christ our leader.
Tender mercy, who through life has been my guide, all the way my Savior leads me, and cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, me with the living bread. You lead me, keep me from falling. You carry me close to your heart, and surely your goodness and mercy will follow me. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love, oh, the sureness of his promise, in the triumph of his blood, and when my spirit clothed immortal wings its flight to realms of day. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all the way. You lead me, keep me from falling. You carry your heart, and surely your goodness and mercy will follow me. You lead me and keep me from falling. You carry me close to your heart, and surely your goodness and mercy will follow me, will follow me. All the way my Savior leads me. all the way my Savior leads me.
Let's make Christ our leader. Let's pray for our leaders who are in leadership. They got a tough job. Let's pray to be, for us to be the leader that God wants us to be as well. I want to leave you with a Bible verse from Joshua 24:15. I read it to the kids this morning for the children's story. But Joshua says, if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors that they served beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord God, as we have been challenged this morning, as we have read your promises and your scriptures about leadership and choices, may we choose you in each and every choice. Holy Spirit, we ask for you to prompt us, to encourage us, to influence us for good. And may we choose you to be our leader. Bless our country as we are about to choose a new president. Bless our church leadership as they're deciding policies and decisions. May you be honored. May you be glorified. And may you be the leader of each of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.